Episode 164, September 29th, 2014.
The following program is brought to you by More Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, this is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
It's tough being a Redskins fan. We recorded this show on Friday, the day after the Thursday night massacre against the Giants, and so the pain, it's still fresh in our minds. Most of you have moved on, but it did get me thinking as I was watching that game. I was actually performing in Towson.
Did it affect your performance?
It probably made it better because, you know, sometimes when you're angry.
Right,
it gets you. It makes your comedy give some more edge. But I feel like being a Redskins fan and our age fan, meaning you grew up, you watched them in the heyday of the '80s, and you experienced that, and that, you know, you'll hold close forever because it probably will never happen again. But I feel like you're the guy. We're the guy that dated and married this sexy girl. You fell in love with her. She was hot. She was super cool. She was awesome. And then over the years, she started gaining some weight, which happens. But you stayed with her. And then she started turning into a bitch. She was rude. She's an awful person. You didn't get along anymore. But you don't believe in divorce. And you don't
No,
believe,
I hear what you're saying.
You don't believe in cheating.
If this is the real metaphor, then she grew a mustache. She's physically and mentally abusing you.
Yes. Yes.
It's gotta be even worse. You feel like she's dangerous, that she could stab you in the night. I mean, it's not just that she gained a few pounds.
But you don't believe in divorce, and you still believe that hot, wonderful person is inside there somewhere. So what do you do?
Well, the problem with, yeah, I hear what you're saying, because I have to root for something. So I'll root for my fantasy football teams. They're my second favorite football teams, correct, right? The problem is that this year my teams aren't very good. They've been really good for the last handful of years. So I go, okay, well, at least there's something for me to like. Now, thank God I have Eli Manning. I have Peyton Manning, but he was on a bye. So I played his kid brother, who scored 5 touchdowns for me. The point is that at least there was a silver lining. My fantasy football team, my second favorite team.
Well, my silver lining, my fantasy football team had 2 Giants players on it, and none of them were part of the 18 touchdowns they scored.
It's not what's called, you're not familiar with the term silver lining.
Oh, yeah, that was my silver fucked even harder lining. Is that?
When I called you today, knowing full well you weren't going to pick me up, because I knew that you knew we would at least have to even just address the Redskins, just even that we weren't talking about it, right?
Yeah.
And I knew that's why I wasn't getting picked up. So I left you a voicemail literally where I said, look, dude, I'm not going to talk about it. You're allowed to pick me up.
And the problem is that you take so much shit from people for being a Redskins fan. And I'm like, we're in last place almost every year. Why are you so threatened by us? It's like do you walk up to a homeless person and say, you're a loser, you have no money? That's what I feel like. It's like, why are you shitting on me? You're still threatened? How many years in a row do we have to suck for you to just, okay, they suck. Let's ease off. And people say, oh, you always think you're going to do well. Well, because we're fans, you idiot. That's what fans do. They're hopeful.
They're like middle school bullies, the worst kind of bullies. The one, if you were ugly, they'd go up and make fun of you for being ugly. Meanwhile, now you're ugly and you're being made fun of.
Yes.
You're stupid. You're made fun of for being stupid. You have both. That's how we are as Redskins fans. But, you know, we're adults. We're in our 40s at this point. Yeah. We are supposed to be long past getting wedgies and possibly getting a purple nurple. We're beyond that.
Yeah, it's sort of like making fun of the handicap, doesn't it, Joe?
Reference to episode 163.
That was an accident.
And then I get people that are, which really bothers me, that are Ravens fans who are also Orioles fans that crap on me. And I'm like, you know why you're enjoying the Orioles being good right now? Because you stood by them
right
when they were the laughing stock of the American League for 13 years. You had 13 straight losing seasons.
I knew what you meant.
13 straight losing seasons. Yeah, and you stayed a fan.
But you should be complimented. You shouldn't be insulted.
Right.
It's a source of pride that my team is so bad and I won't jump ship.
Yes. But instead you get crapped on. So F all.
Not fair.
Our team sucks. And they're my team. I also, this is the other analogy that I've tried to make into a joke, but at least I think it's a valid point. I feel like your sports teams are kind of like your kids in that you always love them, but you don't always like them. You're not always proud of them. And you pretty much, you'll shit on them unless someone is shitting on them and then you'll defend them.
Right, right. You're right.
Right.
But also, it's worse because if you have bad kids, people usually sympathize with you. Now, behind your back, they'd be like, well, he never played with them enough. You know what I mean?
Right.
But to your face, they're going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. Nobody's feel sorry for us. It's you have to get hurt twice.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I don't know if we told the story last week, but this is a good analogy of what, or this is a good example of what can happen. So girlfriend Katie and mm-hmm. show announcer Tim are over at my house watching the games. The Ravens are losing. So Tim is harassing Katie because yes. her team is losing. Now,
that's what Tim does.
Right. So now that's happening and Katie's getting mad. Katie then, team ends up winning. She goes downstairs, starts harassing Tim. Tim sends me an email going, I'm never going to come watch the games at your house anymore if she's there. No, not a joke. You follow? So,
right.
People literally, you don't want to get what's it called, held in double jeopardy. You don't want that. I don't want my team to be losing and also have you over here taking a giant dump on me.
Yeah.
Can you sympathize with me that I'm going through this? Can you not be, you know, can you not be so mean? That's really we need to be nicer people.
I agree. And I guess back to the original metaphor here, my wife is now this fat, horrible, ugly, mean person. But I'm not going to divorce her, so we're just going to like sleep in separate bedrooms.
I just not is that talk. You're only going to like kind of pay attention? You're not going to try to. You're not. You can't put your heart in it. That's really it.
Yeah,
your heart in it, it's going to be broken.
I've actually, because the next game that they play is Monday night, October 6th, which we'll be doing a show live that night, and they're at home. On Monday night against, I think this team's good, the Seattle Seahawks. Are they any good?
They'll lose by 1,000 points. If I said one of these two things are going to happen, the Redskins are going to lose by 50 points or they're going to win, you got to bet your life.
Lose by 50 points.
Yeah, they're going to lose by a lot. But they're in D.C., right?
Yeah, but well, they don't. That doesn't help. What is
no,
that?
You're right. Yeah. In the spotlight, they've shown that they shrink.
But I'm pretty sure that there's also a Nationals and an Orioles game on that night. So it'll be easy for us to not watch that game. Two teams that actually are successful and are playing.
Can I tell you that I'm going to have to go to the Apple Butter Festival during the beginning of the Oriole playoffs?
What is wrong with you?
No, it's not me. Let me tell you this story. I, Robbie, are you going?
I am not going.
Oh, my God. So, I do not want to go to this thing. I don't want to go. But I have children. So I say to the kids, I say to Joey, my oldest, I said, hey, do you want to go to this thing? I want you to know, if you don't want to go, I'm perfectly fine with it. It's perfectly okay. You're your own. You're allowed to have your own opinion. There's nothing for them there. They're just going to be sitting in chairs for 48 hours.
And this is, to refresh everyone's memory, this is something that your family does every year. It's in West Virginia somewhere, correct?
That's right. Apple Butter Festival. So, Joey, I called Joey back. I go, what did you decide? He goes, we're going to go. I'm like, shit, right? So I don't want anyway. So I'm like, okay. I then call back a little bit later and I ask for my other son. And I said, hey, look, I just talked to your brother. Like, I'm giving him two opportunities for me to not have to do this. But I'll be going on Friday during the Oriole playoff game on the 4 hour and so many minute draw trek to West Virginia to watch people make apple butter and sell wolf shirts. Now, there will be some shirts for me there. I will be able to buy some apparel, so I am looking a little bit forward to that. But other than that, I'll be sitting there, you know, watching the grass grow and eating apple butter.
I heard that Tim and Katie are going.
No, they're not going. Katie's not going because, as I just told you, her and Tim, they're in a little fight right now. So I have to get past that before I can have them together.
So you're going with just Tim in the car?
No, Tim's not going. It's just going to be me and the boys.
Okay. So you're turning down because I'm going to the Maryland-Ohio State football game with Phil.
Don't say turning down. That's not fair.
You ought to be able to know how to manipulate your kids at some point.
I tried. You can't bribe them. Good at that.
They're old enough. You could give them things, Xbox games, whatever they're
into. I don't want them to know that there's something wrong with wanting to see your family. I don't want them to think that.
But there is something wrong with that.
Well, yes. There is. I agree with that. But I'm glad that they're still young.
Who are they seeing that they don't normally see? Who's this family?
We have some aunts and some cousins and cousins of mine that are up there that we'll see.
Do they ever visit here?
Nope. I don't know.
That's on them. They have to visit here eventually.
No.
Does there have to be an apple butter festival in Annapolis?
How long has it been since she's visited here? Over a decade, right?
What was the question?
How long has it been since Aunt Janet has visited here?
It's been more than 10 years for sure.
Yeah, it might be 15.
Yeah.
So now what? I can't have them see her every once every 15 years. They're old.
So you're giving up.
Stop. I don't like the way you're saying. I don't like the way you're framing this. You sound like Marcus Serta right now describing how you did at a comedy show.
Hey, Marcus Serta, when I tell a story about me destroying at a show and I have one heckler, that doesn't mean that I had a bad show. That means I had a bad crowd member. Okay. Oh, hey, and Oscar.
You also destroyed and made the show better.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm a little mad at you, Oscar Santana. When I was on, we were on the Mike O'Mara show a few weeks ago, and I mentioned that I just worked with Pete Davidson and I was crushing. And he was having trouble following me in Virginia Beach Funny Bone. And I also gave the little tip, the insight, the breaking news before it broke that Pete Davidson was going to be on Saturday Night Live. He was going to be the newest cast member. And then Oscar announces that on Mike O'Mara's show. But rather than giving me the credit, he points it out to say, look, Rob was shitting on this guy. Now look at him. He's crushing Rob. No, that's not how you spend this. No, you spin it accurately. Rob Mayer from the Rob and Joe Show has inside entertainment information. He broke the Pete Davidson SNL thing 3 weeks ago on our show. Listen to the Rob and Joe Show. What else are they going to talk about? Who knows? But instead, just pile on. I see you, Oscar. I see you. Pile on. Yep. Speaking of fame and fortune, like I said, we're recording this show Friday the 26th. On the 27th, Saturday night, the DC Improv Lounge, myself, and about 6,000 other comedians in the area.
It's 30. I'm not kidding. Whatever. 30 comics.
We'll be doing 3.5 minutes for our last comic standing audition. Now, about a week ago, I got email, and I'm assuming that this guy from the Northern Virginia Daily Gazette, some newspaper, I'm not sure what it's called, is emailing all the people and the show and getting their some quotes about, you know, what this experience means to them, yada, yada, yada. So I, I'm happy to be on it. To be honest, it would probably mean more if I wasn't on it, because that would be, that would say something about me and where I'm at.
You mean like that I'm not on it?
Yeah, yeah.
There's 30 comics right. in the area. I'm not on it.
But you don't even work really the improv, so that's your reason.
Well, you're, I want to.
I know.
Anyway, go ahead.
But you're
that's
not
a whole
on
different story.
Her radar. That's another story. But if I worked, but having, but working the improv regularly like I do and doing well like I do, if I wasn't selected for this, that then that would be an issue. So that would mean more than getting selected means to me. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So, and also, you know, I you know, it's a crapshoot. I have no idea what they're looking for. It's out of my control. I'm not stressing about it. I'm not obsessing about it. It's, I'm going to try to have a good set, obviously, and I'm going to think about what I'm going to do and have it be a cohesive 3.5 minutes about probably my girlfriend and give, have some sort of point of view. So I'm taking it seriously, but I'm not, you know, whatever happens is going to happen. But if I say that to this guy, that's not really interesting. So I'm like, well, I have to give quotes because I want to be featured in the column because that helps me, anything that puts my name out there. So I decided, well, I'm going to take the this is everything to me tone. So I, he said, what does it mean to you? I said, just everything. Good line. And then I said, this is my last best chance to make it in this business, which might be true. But anyway, it turns out he uses my quotes and he I give him a picture of me at the improv. So my picture is now the cover of the story. So then I post the story on Facebook. People are like, oh my God, this is such a big deal for you. And I'm like, no, it's not. I just wanted to get in this column. But now it's blown up because I got all these likes. People are like, oh my God, this is such a big deal. It's so important. I'm like, it's not that big a deal.
Well, it is funny. I posted on Facebook that I was working with John Lovitz. And honestly, I probably every single time I have a show with anybody you've ever heard of, I say, hey, I'm working with Mickey. I say, I'm working with you. I say, mm-hmm. I do that all the time. It got more likes than any other show. It's almost like people are like, oh my gosh, you know, you've made it. I'm like, well, I wasn't trying to make a big deal out of this. I was just saying, if you want to come and see me, here's where I'm going to be.
Well, let's take a break when we'll come back. And you're about to work with John Lovitz. I'm about to work with, in a couple weeks at McGoobie's, with Tom Arnold. Let's debate which is the better gig. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
Drop into Artisan's Grill, located in the center of historic Luray, Virginia, and introduce some local color to your palate. Good conversation, weekly live entertainment, and generously portioned, unpretentious dishes for even the most discriminating diners are all a part of the Artisan's Grill ambiance. Artisan's Grill is open for lunch and dinner. Their celebrated roasted deli meat sandwiches can be enjoyed anytime, or try one of the many open flame grilled specialties with a glass of your favorite distilled beverage, wine, or beer. Whether you're chatting over a cup of coffee and peanut butter pie, or your freshly made soup served with a side of live guitar, you'll feel warmed and welcome. Artisan's Grill, artful fare and a friendly atmosphere. For our hours, complete menu, daily specials, and more, please visit artisansgrill.com. Proud member of Page County Grown, promoting the use of locally raised and grown quality foods.
The Rob and Joe Show.
I'm thinking that Tom Arnold is going to be cooler than John Lovitz, Joe Robinson.
Oh, okay. Is that make it the better gig? Because I don't know that I would argue with that.
Well, okay. Well, first of all, they're probably the same gig. We're both featuring at rival Baltimore comedy clubs.
Right.
For guys that has fame has peaked already, you would say?
Oh, 100%.
But Tom Arnold had a better career than John Lovitz.
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that.
He has, yeah.
Well, okay. Well, so Robbie jumps in, and he does this a lot, where he says things as if they're just fact. Oh, he'd have. You know what I mean? It's just, you're completely dismissed.
Well, no, he's right, though.
But if you look at their now he's worth more. Tom Arnold is worth more. But that's because he has True Lies money, and he has Roseanne money.
He has Having a Better Career money.
Well, if you look at the movies, like John Lovitz was in Big. John Lovitz was in A League of Their Own. John Lovitz. Now, is Tom Arnold still getting movie roles?
He's done a lot of small independent movies.
Probably. Tom Arnold was
not
in
the same
Soul
as what
Plane.
John Lovitz is doing right now. John Lovitz's work is, we just talked about a movie that he's doing right now with Ken Jeong. Would you consider Ken Jeong somebody who's hot or somebody whose career is on the decline?
I would say he's hot career-wise and he's sexy.
Well, anyway, the point, I mean, you look at his body of work. He's also in all the Adam Sandler movies. Not that they're great films, but they're huge money makers. He was in Grown Ups. I think he was in Grown Ups 2. He might not have been in Grown Ups. But he was in The Wedding Singer. He was in, I mean, he was in, he's been in a zillion movies. I don't have his IMDb in front of me, but I think he's had a better body of work. But he also had, what, you know, 7 years on Saturday Night Live. What does Tom Arnold have, Robbie? I know you're a big fan because of what he's done on Stern.
Well, no, I just think he's a great talk show guest. And I think that when it comes to films, he usually has a more high-profile role in the movies that he's in.
He's been in 147 projects to 86.
Yeah, but you can't, you know, a lot of that's television you're going to have. And if you're looking at his IMDb, they're going to have a lot of guest show appearances and things like that. And I know why Robbie likes him. And I'm not saying there's not merit into being a great talk show guest. I mean, that's basically what Norm MacDonald does now, right? His entire career is being.
This proves this wins it for Tom Arnold. He was in Madea's Witness Protection.
Oh, my God.
Robbie, you want to?
Hey, you know that? Speaking of that, you know, I cannot go see that new David Fincher movie with Ben Affleck because he put Tyler Perry in it.
Oh, Gone Girl?
Yeah, I'm not going to go see that now.
I want to see that movie.
It looks great, but I'm not going to go see it because I refuse to support Tyler Perry's movie career.
Well, he's not Madea in the movie.
I know. But I don't care. You put him in the movie.
That
now
they
I'm irritated.
Made Tyler Perry was in one of the. I mean, I don't. It's not the Clear and Present Danger guy, but it's one of those kind of characters. Like what's that guy's name?
Yeah,
Jack?
He was. The role that Morgan Freeman played, yeah. Kiss the Girls.
Right, he played that character.
Yeah, and
I'm sure that movie was great.
It was awful. I watched some of it.
Hey, Rob, can you get Tom Arnold on the show? I reached out to him a number of times to ask him to come on the show.
I'll try.
Please.
Oh, can I tell you one other thing? On top of I know Tom Arnold had Roseanne, and it wasn't as maybe popular as a show, but we were listening to it today. John Lovitz had The Critic, and he was talking about, you know, in its heyday, it had an 11 share. Well, you know, now if you get a 3 share, you're a superstar. You know, Big Bang Theory probably gets a 4 share. You know, I mean, he was on a major hit television show. As a matter of fact, its lead-in was The Simpsons.
You're right. I have underestimated his career. But I still think that Tom Arnold, though, it's because of the Roseanne part, because he had a famous celebrity couple and breakup, tabloid stuff. So I think that makes him a bigger name.
Maybe. John Lovitz has been on The Simpsons every year from 91 to 2013.
Tom Arnold was on Arliss and something called Jewtopia.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't really
spoken to Adam. Baywatch. I mean, come
on. What's that?
Baywatch? These are huge.
You know, it's funny you say that because John Lovitz is in a movie. And, of course, as immediately when I heard he was in a project, I'm like, well, it's probably one of these hokey, you know what I mean, bench warmers type of. No, and it still might be, but the premise is so funny. Here's the premise of the movie. Ken Jeong has incurred a bunch of debt, money that he owes to the mafia or the mob.
I mean, if anybody doesn't know, Kim Jong is the guy in Hangover. He's the
Chang,
yes.
He was also in Community. He was hilarious.
Yes.
Anyway, he is in a celebrity death pool. Robbie, you'll like this. And if he wins it, he can pay off all his debt. And David Hasselhoff, if he dies, he'll win the death pool. So he's trying to kill David Hasselhoff. David Hasselhoff plays himself in the movie. And John Lovitz is his manager. Now, I have no idea if that movie's going to be even remotely successful, but the premise is out fucking standing.
I love it.
So it's an A+ for premise. We'll see how they do in execution.
Is it out yet, or is it? It's coming out.
You know what? When I meet Mr. Lovitz, I'll ask him.
Are you gonna
call I hope
him
he's
Mr.
not a dick.
Lovitz?
That's important to me. You know what I mean? I want stories about somebody being awesome, like Josh Blue. I don't want stories about somebody being a dick like Robert Schimmel and wishing their death. And, you know, thank you for that one, the man upstairs, for getting rid of that guy, Schimmel. Go ahead.
I want to go back to the Tyler Perry thing. So, Robbie, if he's in any movie, if any kind of real role, you're not going to watch the movie.
I might watch it when it comes on cable, but I'm not going to rent it, and I'm not going to go to the movie theater.
What's the most anticipated movie that you have that's on the horizon?
I'll bet you True Detective is Robbie's most anticipated, right, Robbie?
TV show?
Yeah, it's probably TV, not movie.
Okay, if he was going to be in True Detective,
yes.
you would not watch it.
On HBO, no, I wouldn't cancel my HBO, but I would watch that. I would have to.
You know what else Robbie would watch? If Tyler Perry was on Survivor, he would watch it.
Yeah.
What if he was
He would. If Tyler Perry was on Big Brother, he would watch it.
Top
he would
chef.
Watch every single episode.
Yes, I would. It's true.
How hilarious it would it be if Tyler Perry, what's he worth, $100 million?
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah, he was on Big Brother. He won it. And then all these broke people, he's like, add that million to all the other pile. Yeah.
Speaking of True Detective, you've got Colin Farrell and you've got Vince Vaughn. And I believe Rachel McAdams is the other.
I thought it was the chick from Zero Dark Thirty. I can't remember her name. Am I wrong about that, Robbie?
That was one rumor, but the latest is yet to be confirmed. But it looks like Rachel McAdams. And Vince Vaughn will be a villain in the role.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. So I don't know about that. I'm even going to watch it either way. So it doesn't really matter who they pick. I'm going to watch it. But
all
it wouldn't.
You do is talk like this.
Yeah. Have you seen the McConaughey Buick commercials?
Yeah, many times.
I love them. And then here's the funny thing about those commercials. Can this be true? He's like, long before I was famous, I drove a Buick just because I liked it, or whatever. No, long before I advertised for him. He's acting like he's always driven a Buick.
Right.
There's no way that's true.
They're so
Although,
ridiculous.
Recently. He was caught at Fenway with a fanny pack. So he may very well have driven a Buick. Now, Tiger Woods drives Buicks because he has to, right?
Right, right.
But McConaughey should be driving a Ferrari, not a Buick. Not the same car, you know, Graham drives. Is that possible? I mean, he said, I always drove a Buick just because I liked him. I mean, are we talking about when he was like 16 and he got his dad's hand-me-down car? He didn't really drive a Buick after he was in Contact. He didn't do that.
Yeah, he didn't go out and buy a Buick with his contact money. No. I'm listening to the Nationals game the other day, and Matt Williams is their manager, and he's doing an ad for Kia.
Right?
How he drives a Kia, go down to the Kia dealership, tell him I sent you. And Matt Williams played 17 years in the major leagues. I don't know what he made, but you know, money wasn't as much back then, but he probably made $100 million, right?
Oh, yeah. He played. Well, he was a great player. And, you know, he played on great teams, San Francisco Giants. I mean, I'm imagining, yeah, he made $100 million in his life.
And he's probably making $2 or $3 million now, maybe.
Yeah, as coach of the Nationals, he's not making 75 grand.
Right.
He's making some good money.
So I don't believe that he's driving a Kia.
What if Matt Williams was on Big Brother and he won it?
That's what you want, celebrity Big Brother?
I just want a celebrity to go on and just take all the money away from the people that need it. That's all.
Robbie, you're saying it's Lincoln, not Buick?
Yeah, it's Lincoln. He does, not Buick.
James. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Sorry, Buick.
Buick's like, we wish he drove our street cars.
I mean, what's the difference? To me, that's the same.
Yeah, not really about that much.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one where he pulls up and there's that bull in the road and he flips at you?
No, but I have a man crush on him, so I wanted a Buick, and now I want a Lincoln.
Yeah, no, just in this conversation, you change cars. You
exactly.
change from Kia to Buick to Lincoln.
I don't know what to do. I'll just take anything at this point. How's your driver's license, Joe?
Oh, yeah, so this is a great story. So, you know, we mention him every couple shows or whatever, but Dan Ninen, for the most part, has stopped terrorizing me via email. Every time he emails me, I post it on Facebook, and I think there were 9 or 10 unresponded to emails, and he just looked like a crazy person. So I think maybe that's why I stopped, and maybe he's taking a break. I have no idea. Maybe he's lurking. I don't know. But my son is reading my
He's Wikipedia. Always lurking.
What's that?
He's always lurking.
Right. So my son is reading my Wikipedia page, and, you know, and there's this thing that says personal life, and he's got in there, you know, I murdered someone, I raped babies, you know, I clubbed seals, you know. So Ninen goes in there, and there's just all these things in there. But also in there, he says, he has my last two traffic offenses, okay? But he says, and he's driving on a suspended license and continues to drive on a suspended license to this day. Then he cites the Maryland Judiciary case search or whatever, so I'm like, oh, shit, is my license suspended? So Thank God for Dan Ninen. Now, my license was not suspended, but I did have an outstanding, I think I talked about it. I'm such a bad driver, I was weaving, but I don't drink. So the officer pulled me over and he said, hey, you know, have you had anything to drink tonight? I go, I don't drink. He goes, well, let me see your license. And I didn't have my license on me. Do you remember we went to the Fishhead Cantina?
Yes.
And I forgot my wallet. So he gave me a ticket for driving without a license, and that was in, you know, July. Well, you have 30 days to pay it or your license is suspended. Now, it ends up that it wasn't. But if I didn't, if my son didn't read that, then I would not, I guarantee I would have a suspended license in the not too distant future, because I just spaced. Because what used to happen is you get a ticket and then you just wait for the trial, the trial notice to come, and then you'd pay it. So it never came because they don't do that anymore. So anyway, so thank you, Dan. Thank you so much, Dan. If it wasn't for you and making sure that the world is aware of my criminal past, I probably would be driving on a suspended license right now.
If you recall, I drove for a whole year without a valid driver's license, but no chance you could ever get away with that, Joe.
No, yeah. No way, no.
Nor could I.
Dan would find it and post it.
I think I drive better drunk than you drive sober, Joe.
I'm a bad driver. I don't want to drive. And it's funny because girlfriend Katie, she's like, hey, do you want me to drive? The answer is always yes. It's always yes. But I don't want to be that guy. So I'm like, no, I'll drive. But I'm really waiting for her to say, no, I'll drive.
But you were that guy. When you were married, your wife always drove.
She always drove. Always. And so then I want to get to the point where Katie's also driving. I don't want to drive. I'm bad at it. And I want to put my feet up on the dashboard.
Right. And text and Facebook.
I want to do all those things. I want to take pictures of silver alerts. And I want to take pictures. Oh, by the way. Definitely driving down the road, and on the bumper of a car in front of me was a gorilla face. Now, I believe we discussed gorilla face on the show, but if you don't know what that is, go ahead and just go into Urban Dictionary and figure out what a gorilla face is. It's a hilarious sex act. The point is, I now need a picture of this gorilla face. So I'm driving down 95 trying to get close enough so I can snap this gorilla face and then blow it up so I can send it out to the people that are going to think that it's hilarious. And I was able to do that. Maybe I'll forward that to you guys, and Rob, and you can put that on the Rob and Joe Show Facebook page.
Please do that. It's funny that last week we got on the celebrity death topic about how Eric the actor from Howard Stern died, and that really affected Robbie. Then on Tuesday night, I have this open mic that I run occasionally at Wits End, which is connected to Magoobies. I'll be doing it again on the 30th, if anyone listens in time and wants to come out. But there was a guy, it was his first time ever on stage. He walks in, he says, hey, can I get time? He was an Asian fella named Francis, which I thought was interesting.
That is.
And he had, like, headphones. He's very, like, Asian hip-hop guy. You think he's also, like...
He looks like a poker player, like an Asian poker player.
But also, like, he's, like, he would race cars, that kind of guy.
Like, from Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, and also, I've been to Japan, and you see the guys, they're very into the hip-hop, and they're wearing headphones, and they get these baggy pants, and he looked like that guy. Yet his name was Francis, which was weird, but he seemed like a nice guy, and he was cracking jokes, seemed to have a good personality. I'm like, yeah, I'll throw you up, whatever. So, I throw him up around, I don't know, 8 or 9. He goes up and he starts this real serious monologue about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay, give me an example of what he might have said.
And he said, hey, you know, it's been a few months now, but I mean, I can't believe that he's gone. Philip Seymour Hoffman. I mean, this guy, he moved all of us. And he starts going over his roles. And the thing is, This guy Francis, he had presence, and he was speaking eloquently, and he might be some sort of drama student, because he was giving a very...
You were moved by it, it's just, you weren't laughing.
Oh, there was not a joke in sight.
Did people applaud? Was it like when that chick from Boston told that poem? What was her name?
Oh,
Tiffany Baker.
Tiffany Baker.
Was it like that?
Well, he didn't say the N-word like she did.
Did he pause and everybody applauded and then he started up again?
Well, no.
And I remember in Boogie Nights, the scene with the Night Ranger.
He referenced Boogie Nights. He went over his entire catalog, basically.
And when he was Capote.
Yes.
And he punched drunk Capote. Love.
Yes.
He did and the all greatness that is the Hunger Games.
Yeah, well, anyway. But people listened because they're like, this guy he's clearly you know, he's sad. He's still, he's affected. He's about to start crying.
Were you entertained?
No.
Oh, I feel like I'd have been like, I love this. I cannot wait. Don't end. Hey, don't give him the light. Just let
I kept giving him the light, and I don't think he knew what that meant. So I just started clapping and walked up and took the mic.
He wouldn't stop talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
No, he wouldn't. He just kept going and going, and there was no end in sight. It wasn't like in wrapping up, you could see. I felt like,
and in conclusion,
none of that. He could still be talking.
13.
Who knew he was this Francis, the hip hop Asian, was the Philip Seymour Hoffman historian?
Well, Philip Seymour Hoffman is great.
No, he was a great actor. But then everyone else was going up there and sort of like, man, Chris Farley died doing stuff like that. I'm so sad. So it became funny for what people said afterwards. But it was bizarre.
Well, I had a very similar experience today. I hung out with the great Todd Leatherberry, and I don't know how often we mention. We tell a lot of stories about the great Todd Leatherberry on the show, but most of the time we can't say his name because he can't be associated with the story.
Right.
So today I went over to Todd's parents' house. I can't even get into the whole story, but he's watching his parents' 9 acres. Mm-hmm. And he tells me the story with great passion about this kid who used to terrorize him when he was growing up. His name was Dennis Thrall. And it was such a great story. There were characters in it. He said when he started school, everybody was excited because the Leatherberries started school a year late. So they were a year older than everybody. They're like, okay, there's two big kids. There's two of them.
Twins.
You know, we're rescued. And yet they were even more terrified of this Dennis Thrall who was saying words that they had never heard before. And he was doing things that they had never seen before. And they would just cower in the corner. You know, he's like the old West when somebody would just go through, just terrorize the town, and you'd have to shut your doors whenever they came walking
like
by.
Like Mario's grandmother.
Right, like Mario's grandmother. So I'm like, now tell me if this is a good idea. I want the great Todd Leatherberry to tell this story, and I want to go back and visit all the characters from the story, and then inevitably get to Dennis Thrall. I mean, who knows where this guy is? He could be in prison. He could be dead. He could be the father of three and the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Who knows what this guy's doing? But they also said, which was great, was that they went to a Seventh-day Adventist school. Now, they weren't Seventh-day Adventists. They went to a Seventh-day Adventist school. So everybody else would go to church. Now, they wouldn't go, but everybody else would go to church. And of course, in church, Dennis Thrall, the terror. But in church is with his parents. So he's like, oh, hey, Tommy, nice to see you. You know, and of course, everybody's like, okay, I'm going to play along. I'm not going to upset Dennis Thrall. And you knew better, because if you did, then when you got back to school, it was, you know, purple nurples and wedgies and whatever else. No, but he said they were terrified of this guy. He was like Omar from The Wire. I think I already made that reference about Mario's grandmother. But yeah.
No, you can keep using it. Yeah.
Just think, if I had any motivation, I would create this documentary, but I couldn't even get my Skype updated for several years, so I'm not going to do it.
Well, if anyone knows a Dennis Thrall, where did he grow up? What?
Laurel.
Okay.
You know, now, by the way, I'm almost scared because, you know...
And this is the early 80s we're talking about here?
Late 70s? Yeah, I mean... The stories that were told, this guy is probably not to be messed with, this Dennis Thrall.
He's in his 50s now, maybe? 50? No, he's 45.
He's getting close, yeah. He's probably our age. He's probably my age. Probably like 45, 46.
Dennis Thrall from PG County, we're looking for you.
Yeah, but I don't know how to spell his name, like Thrall. You know what I mean? I don't know how it's spelled.
Did you ever have a bully growing up? I don't remember any, because I moved around a lot. Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, no, I was definitely had bullies. Now they're in this area. I remember, and I won't mention any names, Robbie had a bully at the bus stop, and then Robbie fought the kid.
Robbie?
And then my father, have I ever told this story? This is my father was like, I don't want my kids messed with, but here's how you don't get messed with. You go and you fight these kids.
All right.
I'm like, we're not in West Virginia. Like nowadays, that shit don't fly. That's not what people do. They hash out their feelings. They don't brawl at the bus stop. So what happened was my dad's like, look, Robbie, when that kid talks, says one word to you, punch him right in the face. Sure enough, the kid's like, hey, what'd you have for dinner today? Robbie swings on him. And my dad goes out there, and instead of pulling him apart, my dad's like, come on, Robbie, kick his ass, Robbie. He's rooting my brother on. Meanwhile, Robbie's doing the best he can. He's like, Dad, don't let me get beat up here, okay? Let me. Now, the funny thing is it worked. Of course, my dad was right. And the next day, the kid's spending the night. Do you remember that, Robbie?
Yes, I do.
He's spending the night.
And his name is Mike Chamberlain.
His name bully. Is Dennis Thrall.
Yeah. So you two became friends?
No, not they didn't really become friends, but it stopped the bullying.
Dude, can we name him also? Can we find him?
That's Robbie's call. He lives around here. He's easy to find. Yeah, I've seen him.
Guy, yeah, we know where to find this guy, actually.
Okay, we don't want to find him. I think I got in, I think, one fight in school, and it was a horrible fight because neither one of us knew how to fight, and we sort of just grabbed each other, and then I kicked him in the nuts. Then the teacher walked in.
So well, I was
it's not a very manly thing to do, is to kick another man in the nuts.
I was suspended for fighting. Now, here's what happened.
Badass.
My friend Dave Francis was a complete troublemaker and bully to other people. Not to me, of course. We're friends, but he's terrorized. I guarantee you that there are some people in school and their bully is Dave Francis. They're like, he terrorized me. Okay? So Dave Francis is bumping up into this kid named Mark Macaluso. I believe he's my Facebook friend. Bumping into him. Going, hey, Joe, quit pushing me. Okay? That's what's happening. So this kid turns around and squares off to Dave, which he should because he realized Dave. So I step in and I go, hey, what's your problem? Because I'm defending my buddy. Guy totally takes a swing. Now I'm fighting this guy. And my friend Dave's like, go, Joe, you can get him. Meanwhile, he's created this whole incident. It gets broken up. And I, of course, I don't remember how this happened, but I was able to get besides, hey, let's say nobody swung at each other. So we tell the story. We say nobody swung at each other. I got suspended. Mark went back to class.
Well, so I guess you won the fight then. Get suspended, and he didn't. You
lost.
Won.
I mean, I didn't win or lose. There really was no. I never got hit, so I know I didn't lose. I certainly didn't win, but I do remember. Remember, he had the advantage of being at school. I'm at home.
Yeah.
So when I came into school, I was like, hey, I heard you got your ass kicked. I'm like, well, no, but who suspends the guy who got beat up? That's not how it works. But yeah, I distinctly remember not punching anyone and not getting punched. That's what I remember about that fight.
Where are we at on time, Robbie?
You can start wrapping it up.
Shout out to our buddy Mickey Coachella. Good appearance on TMOS last week. Mickey's podcast appears to be gaining steam again. It's Mickey. And his co-host is our friend, former guest here on the show, Robert Andrew.
Man, Mickey, I love him. I do. But he references things that I did on there that I've never done. I've literally never done them. He tells a story about the first time he ever saw Robert Andrew was when we were all at, what's the name of that Mexican? Little Havana's. Cuban. Little Havana's. And he goes, yeah, I remember Joe Robinson was sitting there with me. He goes, hey, see this guy, Robert Andrew? You know, he does his impersonation.
All right.
I think he's gay. Why would the hell would I say I think Robert Andrew's gay? He's clearly gay, and every joke he tells is about being gay.
Right.
Like, am I really speculating that he's gay? So that's, I heard that, and I'm like, okay, whatever. That's how the story's going to be told. And then this made me nuts. Okay, so he's giving Robert Andrew a quiz, which is hilarious, by the way. By the way, both episodes are great, so please listen to them. But he's talking to Robert Andrew about, is Bigfoot real?
Of course.
And Robert Andrew is saying, well, clearly Bigfoot's not real.
Robert Andrew refers to Bigfoot as Big Dick.
Or my next boyfriend.
Yes.
So, no, he wouldn't like a guy that hairy. Are you kidding me?
Of course.
Robert Andrew, no.
Ridiculous.
He's a classy gay.
Yes.
So, anyway, so Mickey goes, yeah, when I asked Joe on why Bigfoot isn't real, he goes, because I can't see him. Well, that's not what I said. And then he goes, well, can you see God? So in his story, he puts me in my place. That's not what I said. What I said, and I remember distinctly, is that there has to be multiple big feet in order to create a Bigfoot. They're not underwater. They're not in this abyss that we can't see. They're traveling the countryside. We would know if a 6 foot or 7 foot tall creature, multiple creatures were here procreating. We would know that. That was my argument. Whatever he said, of course, it made me look foolish and clearly what I didn't say.
Well, remember when we were at the in Cancun and Mickey said the human eye can't see more than a mile or something. And then we all looked up at the sun. And we're like, really?
You can see the moon. Yeah. You can see the sun.
God bless him. But listen to It's Mickey, part of course, the mighty More Broadcast Network. Any BAL updates, Joe Robinson?
No, I'm supposed to be on 98 Rock possibly on Monday. I don't know why. Justin texted me and said, hey, can you do Monday? I don't know if he has an illness or an appointment or what he has, but if needed, I may be on there. Can I tell a real quick cool story about a fan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is good.
If you go to my Facebook, actually, he's probably listening right now, but I'm talking to Landlord Phil at Frisco's in Columbia. And, of course, I'm with him and his girlfriend. Real quick, I like his girlfriend, but I got to be particularly nice to her because eventually she's going to be the reason I have to move. We've already discussed that.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm talking to her, and this guy goes, hey, are you Joe Robinson? He hears my voice. And I go, yeah. He goes, I listen to the podcast. So I was recognized for this great podcast right here. This gentleman was from Frederick, Maryland.
Awesome.
Of course, I can't remember his name. Pretty bad.
Come on, Joe.
But he's a war hero. He's a vet. He came from Afghanistan, and he currently lives on a farm in Frederick and raises two children. I assume he's married. He didn't mention her. And he was also out at 9 o'clock at night in Columbia when he lives in Frederick. So obviously somebody else was watching the kids. But shout out to you, dude. Here's the weird thing. I think his name was James, which you'd think I'd remember considering that's my son's name.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, hey, thank you for listening, war hero from Afghanistan, living in Frederick, who recognizes your voice.
Well, you know, that's happened to me before.
You have a distinctive voice.
That's, yeah, it's not really, as we've already discussed when I did the announcements at the Arlington Draft House, it's not necessarily a broadcaster's voice, but I'm not giving up.
Well, by the time you listen to this show, Joe's week with, what's his name?
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz, sorry, John, will have happen, and he'll be talking about it, I'm sure, on his Facebook and Twitter. Follow him and like our page, our Rob and Joe Show page on Facebook. And I will be giving updates on how the Last Comic Standing audition went. I do know that if you do well in this round, or they like you, there is a callback, because I've other people have had auditions in other cities, and they've mentioned that they got a callback. So I'm sure it's a several-step process.
The 3.5 minutes is strange to me. What else are they going to do? Right.
Yeah.
But it's strange because, you know, you have to have a body of work in order to be successful. And you want somebody with a body of work to be successful. They've had someone win that didn't have a body of work, and it ended up being a tragedy. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So again,
yeah, but they want to see as many people as possible. And the way to see that? They want to see as many people as possible. And the way to do that is to give everyone a short amount of time. I mean, I get it, but
go for Team Finazzo.
Yeah, hey, he's on it as well. Mike Stork, Andy Klein, Randolph Terrence. It's a good show. It's sold out. Otherwise, I'd push it. And by the time you hear it, the show's over. So why am I talking about it? But go to our Facebook page and at Rob and Joe Show, and you know all the updates, picks, show stuff, and I guess that's it, Robbie. I think we're done.
Yeah.
All right. We will see you next week. Again, we'll be back live on October 6th. The night the Redskins lose by 50 to the Seahawks.
All right, later, man.
See ya.
The preceding program was brought to you by More Broadcasting. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.